Hi, and thanks for listening to another audio podcast from Creekside Community Church, Narangba, Queensland. For more information and resources, please visit our website at www.creekside.org.au.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, bless everyone today. Today is Vision Sunday. We hear the name Vision Sunday. It pops up about this time every year. Every year it comes up, Vision Sunday. And what's it really mean, Vision Sunday? Well, for me, Vision Sunday, I've been a pastor since about 1997, long time. And when God first called me into leadership, I think I probably led probably about two dozen Vision Sundays, or maybe more than that, in my ministry. And Vision Sunday has developed for me in significance over the years. As a young pastor, I remember seeking God and just asking God, show me the longer term vision, show me the bigger picture, the great things you want to do, Lord, and help me paint the picture so that everyone, it was kind of like giving a pep talk to everyone, and gather them and get excited and say, this is where we're heading, and let's hand out the shiny brochures, and let's raise the money, and let's do the new programs and the building campaigns and get everyone excited about the year ahead, because we're going to do amazing things. Amen? Yeah. And I hope that you're not too disappointed this year, because that's not what I'm going to do. Because over the years, for me, it's become more about seeking God. Vision Sunday is more about sensing the Holy Spirit and starting to listen to his voice a little more deeply and looking at what's going on in the culture of our church, where we need to have little auto-corrects and say, make some change, slight changes, and pull things in line and say, here's a direction for the future. And look at what maybe even listening, especially I've tried listening to the hearts of the people, having conversations with some of you and just hearing some of that desire and for your own spiritual growth, the things that you want to do and you want to grow in as well, and saying, well, maybe God's stirring that there and there and there and there, and bringing it all together and saying, here's what I can kind of hone it down and say, here's what I think God is saying for us for this year ahead, for 2024. Does that sound good? So it's kind of this, probably something I start personally doing around November each year, is thinking when February comes, what is that message that I think the Lord is saying? And I'm not perfect either, but I'm trying to tap into God's heart as well and say, Lord, I think this is what you're saying to us, and trusting that we've got some message that we can all gather around together and be unified and move forward together in something special that God wants to do for the year ahead. And don't get me wrong, sometimes it is a special new programs and special, you know, building projects and raising finances and all the great things that God, but it's not for this year. That's not what I sense God saying at this point. For me, I usually would come and say, Vision Sunday, I just want to prepare myself for that. What is that venture that God has ahead for me spiritually and for you spiritually? Because most importantly, Jesus said, go and make disciples. And so most importantly is for us to, how do we grow as disciples this year? And what's the Holy Spirit saying for us to, how do we grow spiritually? How do you grow spiritually? So that at the end of this year, you could look back and say, I grew spiritually in this area. I am a different person today. I'm a different Christian today because of what we did together as a church throughout the whole year and growing together. Does that kind of make sense? And it's a little bit more important than possibly than just doing a big project together. And as I said, that can happen as God leads. So if a church is doing that down the road, great. Bless them. That's what God's saying for them to do. But right now for us to do, it's about gathering and growing in a spiritual way around two key areas. And that is that we will be lavished in love as a congregation and empowered in prayer. Empowered in prayer. And so today I want to focus on that as a faith community. How can we be more lavished in love and empowered in prayer? And so what you're going to hear from me today are some thoughts around what I think are some of the most important points that Jesus made for his church, and what we could learn about that together. And what we saw was most important, not only to Jesus, but also to the apostles. And then as the church was born, was some of the most important things we saw that early church, early believers did together as they met as a church for the first time, when they were freshly filled with the Holy Spirit before the church became westernized and commercialized and stages and lights and big screens and songs and with big bands, whiz bang band and all that. Before all of that stuff, what did people do when the Holy Spirit just filled them? What did they just naturally do when they got freshly filled by the Holy Spirit? What was the outcome of that? Because that is how the early church was born. And I want to tap into that myself, and I want us to tap into that as a faith community today. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Today, I want to wrap around one little statement that Jesus made, he spoke about. And it was kind of like a vision statement that Jesus made, but usually a vision talk would have motivational, it's like a pep talk, right? We're saying, let's gather and move forward in this area. It's like, but that's not exactly what happened, because with this statement, it wasn't so much a pep talk at the time. It was more of a correction. Jesus was bringing a correction to the church. And I'm not saying that we need a correction, because we do hold this one as a value in our church. But I would say it's kind of like an autocorrect. We've got the value and it's kind of like we're just bringing that out again. We're just highlighting this value and saying that's what we want to focus on this year. Does that make sense? And so I'm going to pull up the scripture in Matthew 21. 12 to 13, where Jesus entered into the temple. If you know the story, you'll know that Jesus was not happy. Jesus entered the temple and he drove out all of those who were buying and selling in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, "It is written," say this with me, everyone, "my house shall be called a house of prayer." When Jesus cleansed the temple, we see the worldly things going on inside the temple. We see the self-centered nature of the business that was going on inside the temple. And Jesus wasn't happy with that. In fact, he was deeply disturbed by it. And the scriptures say even that righteous anger came out. And he went through and he cleared the temple. And he said, "I'm just going to give you an autocorrect, guys. I'm going to bring you back and I'm going to use the words that Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years ago and call this and recall this my house of prayer. My house should be called a house of prayer." You guys have got it wrong. My house should be called a house of prayer. So let's take a closer look at that today for Creekside on this topic. I hope that today and throughout 2024, that we could see if we could become a little bit more like what Jesus dreamed about when he said, "My house should be called a house of prayer." And why does Jesus call it a house of prayer right here? Because he was quoting Isaiah from hundreds of years earlier, who said these words, "And the foreigners who joined themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." These were prophetic words that Jesus was quoting here. For the work of God and for the work of salvation that would come through Christ to build the church. And to understand what is meant here by the house of prayer, it's helpful to look at the design of the temple back in those days, in the Bible days. In the design of the tent of meeting or the tabernacle, as we can read about this in Exodus, how it was designed, and then the design of the permanent structure of the temple, which we read about in 1 Kings, God instructed that the altar of incense, you can see that just there, the altar of incense was just outside the Holy of Holies. It was to be lit up by the high priest twice a day, every day, every single day, twice a day, for generation after generation after generation. In the Bible, we know that incense, the aroma of incense, was often representing prayer. Was often representing prayer. In fact, we know Psalm 141, David said, "Accept my prayer as incense offered to you and my upraised hands as an evening offering." The altar of incense is a picture of the rising prayers of the people of the Israelites back in those days. And you'll see, you know, in the book of Luke, chapter 1 in verse 8 to 10 says, "One day Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. And as the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd of people stood outside praying." So you can see this is signifying here how important prayer was to God in this system of worship that he had created. The early temple was God's chosen dwelling place. It was where he would meet with the people. It's where his people would come and worship and make sacrifices and meet with him. This was his earthly house, if you like. The temple was his earthly house. So the combination of God's emphasis on prayer through the altar of incense and his earthly place of worship, it's giving us what Isaiah called the house of prayer, the house of prayer. It was really significant. And I don't really have time to go into this next bit in detail, but the incense altar was just outside. I'll pop that back up on the screen if I can. How do I get back? Here we go. Oops. Put up the picture for me. There we go. It's just outside. You can see here, there's a curtain separating it from the mercy seat. And the mercy seat was on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was where symbolically, well, it's where God was. It's the presence of God. And he would meet with them. But only the high priest once a year could move through that curtain and into that Holy of Holies, into that space. And only once a year. It was a place that was separated just for that special moment. And here's a really amazing thing that happened. When Jesus came and died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, that curtain was torn in two from top to bottom, opening access to the mercy seat, opening access to God's presence, to the ark, to the presence of God. And in that presence, this is what it means for us today. The blood of Jesus created a way that there was now no more separation between us and God's presence. Enter into the new covenant. It was not just a priest now who could enter into God's presence. This was to signify that anyone, remember what Isaiah said, my house should be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Hundreds of years earlier, Isaiah prophesied this. It should be called a house of prayer for all peoples. This was to signify that anyone, no matter their ethnicity, no matter their age, children, no matter their societal position, no matter their sex, no matter God, you could come into the presence of God. They could bring their prayers straight to God. You could come straight to him because of what Jesus has done for us through his blood that was shed on a cross. The house of prayer was now for all people, not just for the spiritual leaders. All who put their faith in Jesus have full access to God in prayer. That's you, church, all people. That's why Paul said it in Romans 3:22. We'll just grab that one up here. Romans 3:22, he says, But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, the old way, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. It says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Now, here's the really cool part for us today as we take this to that next level. When someone believes that Jesus died for their sins and rose from the grave to defeat death, they become a living temple. You become a living temple for the Holy Spirit to now dwell within. Paul said it. It's no longer I who lives. It's now Christ who lives in me. He lives in me by his Spirit. I now live by the power of the Spirit and live by faith in him. The Spirit of God is now within us. You are a living temple. And what that means for you is, as a living temple, you are the house. You are the house of prayer. We are the house of prayer. It's no longer about giving the tabernacle the significance or the temple or this fancy shed that we're meeting in today. No, you are the temple of the Spirit. The presence of God is with us individually, wherever we are. We enter the Holy of Holies through the blood of Jesus, and that's all. We come to him by faith in our hearts, into his presence. And that means we can have an ongoing prayer conversation with God at all times. The incense that they lit, the altar of incense, twice a day, generation after generation after generation, to give this ongoing connection, this ongoing symbolic way of connecting with God through prayer. Today, that's what we do. We do this through the blood of Jesus. We come into his presence and thank him that we could come to him. And we have this ongoing connection, this ongoing relationship, this ongoing conversation with God, because I am the house of prayer and you are the house of prayer. We are the house of prayer because we are the temple of God's presence. Paul tells us succinctly, he says in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. keep the ongoing conversation going. Is anyone with me? Keep the ongoing aroma of incense to God's nostrils that he could enjoy you and your heart coming to him, this relationship that we can have with him through Jesus Christ. As our primary way of communicating with God is in this way, it's in prayer. Until we see him face to face in heaven one day, this is how we do it, church. This is how we do it. So when Jesus reminded the people of Isaiah's words, I think that he was recasting his vision in some way for the church. Yeah, he was upset and he was angry. He was saying, this is not right. Autocorrect. Let's get it right, guys. My house should be called a house of prayer. But you've got all these other things you're doing with it. We need to learn to activate prayer in the way that Jesus said it when he said, my house should be called a house of prayer. He didn't call it a house of worship and singing. He didn't call it a house of discipleship and evangelism. He didn't call it a house of programs and building programs. And he didn't call it a house of anything else, except he said, my house should be called a house of prayer. What have you made it? Could you call this house a house of prayer, church? Could our community out there look at Creekside and say, it's a house of prayer? Or do we need a little autocorrect here today and say, in 2024, let's become the house of prayer. Let's see what God wants to do as we pray, as we come to him. I want us to learn together how prayer can change our lives this year. I want us to be empowered in prayer. I believe 24, we could become that house of prayer that Jesus spoke about, you know. And I want to ask you an honest question. Does anyone here struggle with having a consistent prayer life? Most people do. In fact, most people, as I've learned in reading and struggled over the years in my own ways, I've learned that most Christians pray less than 5 minutes a day. So hopefully that's none of us. But we can all learn to grow. We can all do better than that. Over this year, let's just grow and become more the house of prayer. Because, you know, that's what he wants for us today. I think we've established today that God wants us to pray, that it's central to our relationship with him. And we know this because Jesus told us to pray. He told us he wanted to be a house of prayer. And so that's what Jesus expected us to do. Jesus expects us to pray. He modeled it for us as well. It's God's will for us to pray. He taught his followers to pray. In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, and when you pray, in other words, it's an expectation, and when you pray, Jesus says, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, and again, he's expecting this is what Christians do. He's saying, when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, again, he's expecting that this is what we do. Do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need to do before you ask him. This then is how you should pray, Jesus saying, and then he gives them the Lord's Prayer, which we all know, and we'll open the Lord's Prayer up on another Sunday. But what I'm saying is that God wants us to pray. Luke 11:9, Jesus said, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. In Luke 18, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. See, Jesus expects us to pray. He shows us how to pray. And not only does Jesus do this, but the apostle Paul does this as well. And there are many times that we're told to pray by God, to God, as Paul says in Colossians 4:2. He said, devote yourselves to prayer. That means God wants us to be devoted to this, that it is a priority in our life as a church, in our lives personally. We are to be devoted. We're devoted to all sorts of other things in our lives. Amen? But he's saying here, be devoted to this one. Be devoted to being that incense to God, that aroma to God, as your heart connects with him and praying without ceasingly. As he said in 1 Thessalonians, pray continually. God expects every Christian to be devoted to prayer. This is just a little autocorrect for us today, church. not to make anyone feel guilty. It's not about that. It's to help us all be encouraged to grow in this area. Me too. I want us to be what Jesus said, a house of prayer. Prayer is not just an activity to be devoted to, but it's something that we do continually out of an unbroken relationship with God. God wants us to have this amazing sense of his presence in our life in an ongoing kind of way, that he is in every decision that we make. His presence is in every conversation that we're having with someone, that he is sitting here in this service with us right now in one of these seats. Jesus is here, church. Jesus, his spirit is in this room with us right now, and he's listening to me speak, and he's listening, he's watching your hearts and how you are responding to him and to his word right now. Just went very quiet in here, didn't it? It's just like that altar of incense in the temple that we spoke about, burning continually every day, symbolizing this aroma of prayer with the people outside praying to God as the aroma went up, being offered to God. It's a beautiful picture of our ongoing relationship with God. Just picture it. The beautiful smell of the incense being burned. That's your prayers going up to God. You know, in the early church, they understood this too. Not just Jesus, not just the apostles, but the early church, as they waited in the upper room, they didn't have much. They didn't have the whiz-bang band and the projector and the lights and everything else we spoke about before. They didn't have the air conditioning and they didn't have the comfy seats. You might say they're not that comfy. But they didn't have any of these things. But what did they have? You know what they had? They waited on God for 40 days praying, and they lavished each other in love as a faith community, and they were empowered in prayer. When the Holy Spirit finally came on the day of Pentecost, they were empowered and all their prayers were answered and the church was born. And you know what it says that the early church did when they were first started? It says in Acts 2 verse 42, the early church was born. It says that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching and they were devoted to the fellowship, that's each other, and they were devoted to the breaking of bread, sharing of meals together as well in each other's homes. And it says they were devoted to prayer. They were devoted people. The early church, they got this. And this is how the church was born. And if I was to cast a vision around who we are as a church community, it's this. Let's go back to the early church, see what did they have before it was westernized and commercialized and made into what church looks like today and we think church is. Let's go back to what the early church did. They were devoted to the teaching, to learning and growing, becoming disciples. They were devoted to the fellowship and loving one another way that Jesus said to love each other, and devoted to breaking bread, which we're going to do in just a moment. And they were devoted to prayer. Pretty simple, hey? So instead of the shiny brochures being handed out today and saying, sign up here and pledge this money and do everything else, I'm asking you to say, 2024, can I become a house of prayer? Can I be part of this church and becoming a house of prayer? And you might say, I don't know what to do. I don't know, how do I become a house of prayer? How do I be devoted? I've never prayed before. This is all a new journey for me. Some of you have been Christians for a long time and you still don't get this. Some of you have been Christians a long time and you do get this. Some of you have been brand new Christians and you're like, I don't understand what to do. Some of you are not even Christians yet. You're just checking it out. You're saying, I don't know what that means. Do you know what? We're on a journey. 2024, let's take a journey together. You're not going to get it all in the next 2 minutes, but you are going to get it over this year. And together we're going to grow. We're going to take baby steps, but we're going to become the house of prayer. We're going to be lavished in love, and we're going to be empowered in prayer. That's my heart, and that's my goal for us. You know, the Bible says there's benefits for us in doing this. It says in Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach the God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace and help for us in time of need. God wants to give us his mercy and grace and help in times of need. He wants to meet with us. Isn't that amazing? His spirit is here and he wants to meet your needs. He wants to enter into your life deeply. He wants to be a part of things. If I'm in trouble, he wants to meet me when I'm in trouble. He wants to help me. And that's what we do together. You know, it says in Luke 5:16 that Jesus often drew to lonely places. He often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. Yeah? he'd often withdraw to a lonely place. Jesus set the example. Now, I know I need to do this more. So I'm actually preaching to myself. And if I want to be like Jesus, I need to do that too. More. And I want us to be a house of prayer. I want to be the house of prayer. So what we've learned today is that God wants us to be a house of prayer. We've learned that prayer is a discipline and that we all need help to do this better because we need to be devoted to it so it doesn't get crowded out by all the other things that become priorities in our life. So this has to become our priority. It's a discipline. And then I know that we do this without ceasing because we have to have that ongoing relationship with God for seeing his presence in our life in an ongoing kind of way, just like the aroma from the altar of incense, as we saw in the temple in the Old Testament. But we also know that most Christians don't pray much. We know that. And that we can all grow in this area because we struggle a bit. But throughout this year, we're going to grow in it together. We're going to do a sermon series around prayer. We're going to learn how to pray. We're going to add things into our program around prayer that we can all get involved in. We're going to talk about that in just 1 minute as we finish up. Because I believe that we can learn how to pray together. So as we finish up, I'll pop this on the screen. A house of prayer. Here's some ideas as our team has met and be praying and saying, God, what can we do to become that house of prayer? Some things that will motivate and help encourage and teach us. One of the first things to me is just to stir up that culture of prayer within us. When we're having conversations with one another in fellowship afterwards, one of the things I love to do as I'm chatting to you is like, can I pray for you? How you just told me about how you've been looking for work. Can I just ask God to help you with that and give you direction in that? And you say, yeah. And then we just stop and we pray. We start creating and cultivating an atmosphere of prayer amongst each other. And you say, well, I don't know how to. You don't have to pray out loud, even if you're scared to pray out loud. Or maybe you challenge yourself to say, I will pray out loud. I'm going to just push through that barrier and just pray over somebody. When we say, let's open this altar up for prayer, let's create the culture that says, come forward. Nothing to be scared about. We're just coming to the altar, coming to God. Just create that atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move as we pray for you. As we pray together, just create an atmosphere of a culture of prayer. And so we start stirring that up. What about Sunday morning pre-service? We thought, well, many of you could come half an hour early. You can't come to a midweek prayer meeting maybe. But you could say, we could turn up half an hour early at church and meet over in the offices and just a few of us gather. It might be 10 people, it might be 5 people, it might be 20 people. It doesn't matter. We're just going to gather over there for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, however the Spirit leads us. We're going to be in the offices. We're going to pray for the service. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to ask God to be with us on the day in our worship. And so we'll do that at 9:30 each morning. You know what, if there's no one in there, that's okay. You go in there and you start praying. I might be in here preparing with the worship team. It's not about me leading it. It's not about someone. Someone will be there, but we want you to go in there and we want you to just start praying, creating that atmosphere of prayer, the importance of praying for the service for the day ahead. And then we've got a prayer focus in every service. So we'd like to make sure that because we're valuing this that every Sunday, we're going to stop for a few minutes in our service. We're going to say, Lord, as we usually do this, but sometimes we miss it. But we're going to say, no, we're going to prioritize it. And so in our order of service every week, we're going to say, here's our pastoral prayer spot. I want to pray for these people. Or here's a spot where we're going to stop and just break into little prayer groups. Or here's a spot where I'm going to have maybe, you know, I'll ask Harry, stand up and just pray for the congregation today. Let's just stop and spend a minute and pray together as a congregation. So prayer becomes part of the incense of this church coming up to God like a sweet aroma. Then we have our online prayer meeting every Wednesday morning at 6:15 a.m. For those who are awake and want to jump in, you can get the link through the app. Tim's already sent it around. You can actually click on the link at 6:15, join our little group there. The elders are there praying at 6:15 for about 45 minutes. And we'd love you to join in and just listen, pray. Tell us your needs. We'd love to pray together. Offer up something there, okay? You've got our prayer cards. So you know these little cards that get spoken about every week, and many of you do fill these out. Fill out your prayers so that we could pray for you every Wednesday with our little team meeting we have each week. We pray over those prayer requests so you know that your prayer needs are being covered. You can also do this through our church app. On our church app, you can write down your prayer request and hit submit, and that prayer request gets sent through to us as a team. We're able to pray for you, pray for your family, lift up those needs, because we need to lift our needs up to God, okay? And then a house of prayer. This is something special that we're doing. Russ, come on up quickly. Russell, I want Russell to share just for 1 minute around the house of prayer concept, something that you can do in your home, and we want to start. Straight away.
Yes, absolutely. So exciting, isn't it? Wow, my heart's beating fast. House of prayer, look, you just got to sign up. Good intentions don't often amount to us doing anything, but this is where you can sign up to say, I'm going to be a house of prayer, but I'm going to make my home, my house, which is God's house, a house of prayer. Now, when you sign up, all you're doing is saying, I'm going to commit to doing so many minutes. I've put down 30 minutes as a guideline, but it can be 5, 10, whatever you want to do as a couple or as some adults in your home. You might want to invite someone over, but it's small. It's something you're going to do every week at a certain time on a certain day when it's convenient for you, so that we've got every home in our church praying every week and interceding for the needs that Holy Spirit brings up in your time together. But it's not just Holy Spirit bringing up times, things for you to intercede. It's time for you to care for one another as you meet together and pray together. So Tim will help you sign up. Oh, great. And look, you know, you'll get reminded each week, but you'll also get, maybe in the future, we might be able to send out important prayer requests for our whole church to be praying in your house of prayer. Amen.
So this is a great idea, and it's a new thing that we want to build. You'll hear more and more of that in the coming weeks, and Russ is really giving some leadership to that and excited about that. I am too, that in our own homes, around my dinner table, with my family, with my wife, with my kids, every family night we have together, we can pray for each other, pray for the church, pray for each other's needs. So that's happening in the house of prayer in your home, okay? Build a prayer partner. Have someone who walked the journey with you. We'll talk more about prayer partners in a series I want to do in the coming term two. We're going to go through the book of John in term one. But in term two, I want to do a series called How Prayer Can Change Our Lives. And so we may call that prayer, powerful prayer passages that can change our lives. So we're starting to learn the discipline of praying and how to pray more powerfully. Then we have some ideas. Let's have some worship nights throughout the year, and we'll calendar those, and some really special focused prayer nights that we'll just call the whole church together. So they'll be in the calendar, and you'll hear about them as they come up. And they have a 21-day prayer campaign, which is Russell's got some cards, and if you can grab them on the way out, it's basically we write down 3 names of people that we're praying for to do alpha in term two. God can break through in people's hearts and lives, bring them along to Alpha, but we need to start praying for them over the next few weeks. Term two, we're going to kick off Alpha again, and it's always amazing how many people are touched and converted in a sense. God's Spirit comes in and changes hearts and lives through Alpha, but it all starts in prayer. It all starts by praying for those who need prayer. Now, was George Mueller who said, the great fault of the children of God is that they do not continue in prayer. They do not go on praying. They do not persevere. And today, church, for this year, I want us to persevere in this. I want you to not give up praying. Let's just pray now. Take your communion element and hold that. We pray to Jesus. We come to him in prayer through the blood of Jesus. If you don't have a communion element, please raise your hand. I can't open mine, so. It's just an awkward moment. I got it. Oh, dear. I think I got it. There we go. again, let's think about the picture of the altar of incense. The prayers of God raising up to heaven as the crowds of people gathered around in the temple. And now picture what Jesus did on the cross for us, making a way for us to come into that presence of God in a sense through the blood of Jesus. That curtain was torn, and now I can offer up my prayers like incense to God directly. I don't need a priest to go in that holy of holies ahead of me, taking my prayers for the people. I am right there with God. His presence is with me. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross in making a way possible for me to be in direct communion with you. And now, Lord, as we share this bread and this juice, it is like the body of Christ. It's symbolic of what you did. And it unites us together here as a church on this vision. So it's uniting our hearts as one, because we are one body. We are the body of Christ. And we have the Spirit. The presence of God is here right now. And yes, you've given us a little autocorrect for 2024, not to condemn us, but to encourage us to say, what could we do to be that house of prayer? Well, it starts right here, right now in this communion. Lord, let us look back on this communion. The end of this year, we look back, we say, at that communion, we made that commitment. When I ate the bread and drank the juice, we made that commitment to become a house of prayer. So let's eat this now and remember the body of Jesus. The body of Jesus was broken for us. And now we take this juice and we drink it and we remember the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross, that we could be called a house of prayer. Lord, we thank you that we now live in a new covenant because of what Jesus did. We thank you that the curtain was torn at that very moment when you died on a cross. We thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. You made a way for us. We thank you that we are a house of prayer. Thank you, Lord. We're going to sing as we finish.